Good afternoon. To turn your Bibles to the book of Malachi, the book of the prophet Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. And we'll be looking today at the last verses in chapter 1 of Malachi. We'll read together from verse 6 through to verse 14. Malachi chapter 1, starting at verse 6. If you wanted a heading for sermon today, simply be, "Where is my honor? Where is my honor? A son honors his father, the servant his master. If I then am a father, where is my honor? If I'm a master, where is my fear?" says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, "How have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar." But you say, "How have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? When you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you or show you favor?" says the Lord of hosts. "And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show favor to any of you?" says the Lord of hosts. "Oh, that there would be one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you," says the Lord of hosts, "and I will not accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For now my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted, and its fruit, that is its food, may be despised. But you say, 'What a weariness this is.' You snort at it," says the Lord of hosts. "You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as an offering. Shall I accept that from your hand?" says the Lord. "Cursed be the cheat who has made a veil, who is a male in his flock and vows it, yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king," says the Lord of hosts, "and my name will be feared among the nations." Let's bow in prayer for a minute. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ in the pages of Scripture. Lord, help us to look past the preacher, and may Jesus Christ be exalted. Would you speak to us in the pages of your word, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Stories told of a young soldier in the 3rd century BC who was brought before Alexander the Great, who was a great man. He only lived to 32 years old and conquered nations and kingdoms, a Greek soldier. And this soldier was taken in battle in the face of cowardice, and he ran and he was brought before Alexander the Great for fleeing in the face of the enemy. "What's your name, boy?" said Alexander the Great to him. And the hesitant reply came back to Alexander, "Alexander is my name, sir." You can imagine. "What? Soldier? Change your ways or change your name." This great soldier and general maintained that this cowardly soldier was bringing dishonor to the name Alexander. And we know down through history people have been prepared to die for honor, the honor of a name, the honor of king, and the honor of country. And the Bible tells us in the 5th commandment, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord is giving you." We are to honor the king. We are to honor our earthly rulers, the civil magistrates, our employers, our supervisors, all those that God has placed in authority over us. And above all, we are to give honor, to give God the honor that is due to his name. And honor comes from the Hebrew word kabeb, which I don't know if I'm pronouncing correctly, even to be heavy. In other words, to give weight to the name of God. To honor him is to give proper attention and weight to his name. The same root word is used for the word glory in the Old Testament. The scriptures are filled with examples of how we ought to give honor to God and give weight to his name. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, "But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor." Proverbs 3 verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce." 1 Timothy 1 and 17, "To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." In Romans 1 verse 21, "Although they knew God, they did not honor God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened." Well, we come today to the second message, second oracle, the burden of the Lord through his messenger Malachi to the Israelites there in Jerusalem, that remnant that had come down and were involved in temple worship. And the section today, actually the second message, runs from 1:6 all the way through to 2:9. And today we'll just look at 6 to 14 and the second part, Lord willing, next Lord's Day afternoon. Just to recap really quickly, in our last two sermons, the Lord opens his oracle to the people by confirming his covenant love for his people. "I have loved you," says the Lord. And that was the opening oracle and the message to them. Then last week, we observed how his people question his love. "How have you loved us?" Now God answered them by pointing them to three things: his electing love of Jacob, his hatred for Esau, and his word, which is forever sure and unchangeable, illustrated in the final destruction, the judgment of the people of Edom, the descendants of Esau. In spite of the efforts to rebuild, they will remain a people with whom the Lord is angry forever. And the proof of God's love is seen in these three things and how they, as descendants of Jacob, have benefited from his love. And that is how he has loved them. And then the great lessons there, that the sovereign eternal purpose of God, the only ground of bestowal of his favor on one man and withholding from another. Salvation is not as a result of a self-determining power or merit of our own, but the sovereign eternal purpose of God, where he placed his love upon his people. And we also note sadly that God still addresses man with the same question: "I have loved you," and so often still meets the same hard, ungrateful response: "How have you loved us?" That's just a reminder of last week. And so in the second oracle then, God brings a charge against the priests in particular, and indirectly also to the people of Israel. "You have not honored me." The priests were the ones who were supposed to be lead and teach the people of Israel how to worship God correctly, how sacrifices exactly were to be performed, what animals were to be used, what the condition of those animals were, what was and what was not acceptable in the worship of God. In Malachi 7, 2, verse 7 and 8, we read verses we'll consider closely at another time. "For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge. People should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from my way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts." And we've read the sins of the priests, and in the sins of the priests, the Lord says it'd be better if we just close the doors. It'd be better. You're lighting fires in vain. You may as well stop your sacrifices. God says, "I will not accept any sacrifices from you because of these sins." And in fact, he says in chapter 1 and verse 6, "You priests despise my name." Malachi 1 verse 10, we read it, "Oh, that there would be one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, I will not accept an offering from your hand. Matthew Henry makes this comment, says, nothing profanes the name of God more than the misconduct of those whose business it is to honor it. What I want us to do today, as we go through our passage and draw out from these charges the sins of the priests, I want us to draw out the correct way in which we ought to worship God acceptably. In other words, by looking at their sins, by looking at what they did wrong, we want to draw out how can we worship God acceptably today. And I have 5 hair points today, and each starting with worship to God is only acceptable when, and then we'll have 5 points then. So to come to our first point today, worship to God is only acceptable when God is honored and feared. God is honored and feared. A son honors his father, verse 6. Servant is master. If I then am a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my fear, says the Lord of hosts? O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? And the prophet is very skillful here in addressing these people. He opens this charge against the priests so there can be no misunderstanding, no dodging of this question at hand. He opens with a statement to which the priests will all, you can see them sitting there, nod their heads and agree. It's all basic moral law. They'll agree with that. In fact, it's the 5th commandment. The father, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Yes, the son must honor his father, and the servant his master. In fact, the law of Moses commanded that if a son was not honoring his father, that if a son was not being obedient, and there was he refused the instruction and chastisement, he was to be taken to the elders at the city gate and stoned to death for that dishonor of his father. Notice how God, through the prophet, doesn't even question the priests regarding their love of God, for there was none. Their hearts had strayed so far from him that God simply inquires about the honor due to him as a father and the fear due to him as a master. And not even that is there. They are so absorbed in their own desires, their selfishness, as we observed before, their discontent, the lack of God's blessing and his physical prosperity, that's all they could think of. They would see these blind and lame animals on the table of the Lord, and that is where they would take their portion. And it was disgusting, and they sneered at it. And that's all that they cared about, their physical prosperity, so that God says to them, O priests who despise my name. Brothers and sisters, the priests were not able to worship God in any acceptable way without honoring and fearing him. They did not respect God. Not only was the honor and fear gone, but they, by their actions, were despising God, even though outwardly it appeared as they were serving him, carrying on their duties and lighting the fires, and they were there. They were there for worship. The people came. But it was a joke. Listen to these select verses from Deuteronomy chapter 10. In verse 12 we read, and now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments and the statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding for your good today. Down to verse 17, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who is not partial or takes a bribe. And down verse 20, you shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, hold fast to him, and by his name you will swear. He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and terrifying things that your eyes have seen. We honor and fear God by thinking about him in the correct way, by knowing and reminding ourselves who he is. He is the God of gods. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of kings. He created all things. He is almighty, and he is the one who has chosen us in his Son to love him. But our doctrine and our profession needs to shape our behavior. The priests knew these things, but they made no difference to their behavior. As was the case with these priests, may there never be a gulf between our words and our actual practices. God does not want us to profess his name if we're not going to live up to that profession. That is to despise his name. Worship to God is only acceptable when God is honored and feared. Secondly, our second point then, worship to God is only acceptable when we worship as he has prescribed. When we worship him as he has prescribed. Here's the proof, if you like, that these priests were despising the name of God, neither honoring nor fearing him. They paid no attention to the prescribed method of worship, sacrifices, and service. They were not paying attention to his word, which they knew. It was clear, it was prescribed how they were ought to worship. Let's look at these verses as the priests answer back to God at the end of verse 6. But you say, how have we despised your name? Verse 7, by offering polluted food on my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? When you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? And he goes on to say, present that to your governor and to see if he will accept that. Shut the doors. You're lighting useless fires. Close. I would rather you do not sacrifice. And we do not even need to go back to the law of Moses, the five books of Moses, to see the gross laxity and the blatant sin that these priests were committing by accepting animals to sacrifice that were blind, lame, and sick, or plundered, or stolen. The human governor from Babylon would be offended if they arranged the feast for him when he was coming down and said, well, let's grab this one who's lame, let's grab this one that's sick, and we'll just cut out the sickness in him and offer that to the governor. They wouldn't dare. But the priests had fallen so low that the Lord says of their sacrifice, they labor in the temple. It's worthless and offensive. Don't even think about it. Don't even ask and come to me for a blessing. When you offer these gifts, these detestable sacrifices, shut the doors. I will not accept them. My friends, it wasn't like it was hard or complicated. It was laid down in the law. It was prescribed to the priests in detail. Listen to the words of Moses to the people of Israel just before they go into the promised land. Of course, Moses himself did not go. He's just shown from the mountain. But here's his word in Deuteronomy 30. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you. Neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the seas for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. It was prescribed. In a sense, it was easy. Just obey. The Lord gives his freedom, his people so much freedom. So many things, in most things, in fact, as we live upon this earth. But he has given us his holy moral law to set boundaries for his beloved people, boundaries which express his character. And for that reason, we should love them. We should love his law. We should delight in his law, like the psalmist, and write it on our hearts in the keeping of his law and the commands of Christ. We honor him. We fear him. And we love him. His commands regarding his worship are not hard to us, and they should never be burdensome or difficult to follow, but they must still be followed, For God is God, and he is unchanging, and his word must remain a lamp to our feet and a light to our path to guide us in our worship. We cannot do and worship as we please. We cannot change the worship to make it comfortable for us or make it exciting and entertaining to draw people to us. The way that we are called to worship God today is as clear as it was in the days of the Old Testament, but without the ceremonies, the washings, and the sacrifices. Now fulfilled, of course, Christ is our Lamb, and his sacrifice, all the ceremonial law, is fulfilled and therefore abolished. No sacrifice for sin remains. Christ is sufficient. But his word makes it clear to us today when, where, and how to worship. It's simple. It's in his word. When do we worship him? On his day. On the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner which is within your gates. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Where must we worship him? With his gathered people. With his gathered people. Acts chapter 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Hebrews 10:25, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. How should we worship him? In spirit and in truth. It's simple for the child of God. To obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of lambs. And yet somehow we make it so complicated, so tiresome, so burdensome. The law of God is only those things to us when we don't want to obey, when our hearts, like these priests, are far from him. The sacrifices that God wanted from these priests was a broken and a contrite heart, hearts that wanted to worship him. A broken, contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You remember Jesus meeting the woman of Samaria at the well in John chapter 4, and he said these words to her: "You worship what you do know, do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. The hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." God is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship to God is only acceptable when we worship him as he has prescribed. The third item: worship to God is only acceptable when we give him the glory that is due to his name. When we give him the glory that is due to his name. Malachi, the messenger of Jehovah, declares to Israel that the time is coming, with or without them, that God will be honored and feared, and his name will be great. Verse 11 of our text: "From the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." My friends, here is gospel grace again. Here is a promise of salvation, of grace to the Gentiles, to the world, together with so many promises, the prophecies, the Old Testament, the scripture, starting in Genesis 3:15 even, the promise of salvation to the whole world. That time has already started. that came with the messenger of the Lord that is going to be spoken of here in Malachi. Elijah, or the spirit of Elijah that comes in John the Baptist, the forerunner spoken of later in this book, the coming of Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. Habakkuk 2 and verse 14, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Days spoken of by the prophet Joel, when God said of his spirit, Joel 2:28, shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour my spirit on all flesh. And we can go on and on. As we mentioned in our introduction, the root word for honor, kabeb, is the same root word for glory. And in fact, I looked at passages in the scripture that spoke about glory and honor, and very often they used together. Kabeb, heavy, weighty. Listen to these texts. Psalm 8 and verse 5. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor, with kabeb, with weight, with regard for his name. Hebrews 2 verse 7. You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. 2 Peter 1:17. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic God, by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Just in Revelation, I found five references. I'll just quote Revelation 4:11. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Worship to God is only acceptable when we give him the glory that is due to his name. Fourthly, worship to God is only acceptable when our service to him is a sacrifice of praise. When our service to him is a sacrifice of praise. At verse 13 of our text, but you say, what a weariness this is. You snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence, or is lame or sick, and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Like the priests, we may think that we're doing fine. We make sure that we're in the Lord's house on his day. We're careful to follow his commands. We hold the Ten Commandments close before us, and those principles that we apply to our lives in every walk of life. We try to love our wives as we ought to. We try to do good to all, but in truth, we are bringing lame, sick, and blind sacrifices like these priests were, unless we come to his worship with grateful hearts, filled with praise for his goodness and faithfulness, hearts filled with love for our Savior who gave himself for us that we might live, hearts content at his marvelous provision for us, even when we are not prospering materially, even when we are infirm and facing trials, even when our bodies are racked with disease, yet we come to worship bringing him a sacrifice of praise, the very opposite of what these priests were doing. They were wearied, they were offended, they snipped at the offering. God is not blessing us. Yet we come to worship bringing a sacrifice of praise. We come to worship filled with love and gratitude for our Savior, that he should love us. We bring a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, through him then let us continually offer sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Listen to Matthew Henry. I'm just going to read a partial quote. He says, those who live in careless neglect of holy ordinances, who attend them without reverence, and go from them under no concern, in effect say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. They despise God's name in what they did. If we worship God ignorantly and without understanding, we bring blind for sacrifice. If we do it carelessly, if we are cold and dull and dead in it, we bring the sick. If we rest in the bodily exercise and do not make heart work of it, we bring the lame. And if we suffer vain thoughts and distractions to lodge within us, we bring the torn. And is this not evil? Is it not a great affront to God and a great wrong and injury to our own souls? My friends, when we come to worship God, no matter what our personal circumstances, we must come and bring him pure offerings, a sacrifice of praise. Psalm 100, I love to read that on the Lord's Day. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come to his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his, we are his people. We are the sheep of his pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. Worship is only acceptable when our service to him is a sacrifice of praise. Fifthly and finally, and I love that hymn that we sang earlier, Fairest Lord Jesus, worship to God is only acceptable when we have a perfect priest. When we have a perfect priest. Friends, how can we hope to do better than these priests, the people of Israel, who either thought they were worshiping and sacrificing and bringing offerings to God, were in fact despising him? They were not honoring, they were not loving and fearing him. Are we better people? Are we more knowledgeable than they or of his law? No. The answer is hinted at in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 7. They needed a perfect priest. They needed a priest, one who would teach them with his word, one who would cause them to love God, one who would in fact become the perfect, unblemished sacrifice and be the perfect mediator to God on their behalf. But it is clear that the priest did not see these shadows, that these sacrifices had to be perfect because one was coming who would be a perfect priest and he would become our sacrifice. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and the people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And this is the messianic passage pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, as we close today, we have such a priest. And it is only through our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, that our worship is ever acceptable to God. For he perfects it there in the heavens at God's right hand, ever living to intercede for his elect, for those whom the Father has given to him, those who will now worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because he has taken out our hearts of stone and given us hearts of flesh. He's poured out his spirit upon his church that we are enabled to worship him in spirit and in truth. Hebrews 9, verse 11 to 14, I close with this. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For with the blood of goats and bulls, the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer, sanctified for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Worship to God is only acceptable when we have a perfect priest. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, how we bless you that you have come to give us life, life more abundantly. How we thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our prophet, our priest, and our King. How we thank you that our worship to you is only acceptable because we offer it in your name. Lord, how we thank you for forgiveness of sins. How we thank you for your Spirit which you have poured upon your church. How we thank you that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that we may take these things to heart, that we may become true worshippers of you, honoring and fearing your name. Oh, Lord, that we may give to you the glory that is due to your name, that we may worship you as you have prescribed in spirit and in truth. Oh, Lord, how we thank you that we have the perfect great high priest and we worship him. Pray that you would go with us and write these things upon our hearts that we would become better worshippers of you for Christ's sake and for his glory. Amen.